Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangs Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitam Cha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is going to be the last initiation ceremony held in this particular location, I'm informed, because very soon the ISKCON Center in Munich will move to a new location. So it's the end of an era, coming to the end. So much devotional service has been formed here, been performed here. So congratulations to all the devotees who have performed so much devotional service here. And we look forward to a new start. We can think a change of location, and also there can be more preaching, more book distribution, more Harinams, more Krishna consciousness for the people of this unfortunate city. Unfortunate means? Why? People from all over the world want to come here, isn't it? Most people in the world would rather live in this city than in their present location. They think that it's, well, prospects for material enjoyment better, no doubt. But that is their ignorance and foolishness, that they don't know that the goal of life, the meaning of life, is not to live simply for sense pleasure. Those who understand this, that sense pleasure, even in the heavenly planets, whatever Munich might be, it's not a heavenly planet. Even in the heavenly planets is simply a source of suffering. One who realizes this, what should he do? What does Krishna say in Bhagavad, in Srimad Bhagavatam? Tad vijnanartam sagurum eva bhigachet. To get that knowledge of that situation beyond birth and death in this material world, one should approach a spiritual master. So in pursuance of Srila Prabhupada's policy in initiating, just before the initiation, either he himself would speak or would have disciples speak on the 10 offenses against the holy name that are to be avoided, which has just been spoken on. And also about another talk on the meaning of initiation, what does it mean to be a disciple, what does it mean to be a guru. It's a very big, very big topic. I'll just cover some points of that now. Well, that's it there. Tadvijnanartham sagurum eva abhigacchat. That's all right. Sorry, I'm already in the middle of the talk now. So. Guru means one who gives knowledge, which specifically means spiritual knowledge. The term guru has entered English and German as to mean a teacher, and that is one of the meanings. There can be a music guru, dancing guru, cheating guru. Yeah, even the thieves in Indian culture, even the thieves have their gurus. But the real meaning of guru is one who gives spiritual knowledge. I was just visiting the new center, which is under renovation, and I was asked to sit there on the Vyasasan, to inaugurate the new Vyasasan by sitting on it. So I spoke a few words. Vyasa-san for visiting gurus and sannyasis. So I spoke a few words there that this is the seat of Vyasa. It's not just any seat. Sometimes in the temple room, some children, they may be running uncontrolled and they may climb up on the Vyasa-san and play there. That may sometimes happen due to their ignorance, being children. But actually the Vyasa-san is for one who speaks only the message of Vyasa, nothing else. That is the first and minimal qualification to sit on the Vyasa-san, a very grave post it is. To sit on a seat is a very ordinary activity. To sit on a Vyasa-san is not a very ordinary activity. Just we can think to sit on the throne. There's Singhasan of the king will sit on the Raja Singhasan, the king's lion throne. So it's not a small responsibility. He has to, of course, nowadays kingship is abolished, but he has to represent God to the people. In a different way to the way that the Acharya does. He has to represent in terms of safety, protection, and material well-being. He has to facilitate that and is respected as God on earth for doing that. So it's not only the guru who's respected like that. The king is also respected. Brahmins in general, they are respected as being gods on earth. So it's a very great responsibility. Not anyone can sit there. One has to be fully trained and fully qualified and actually do the job to be a king. So in the same way, to be a guru means to give that knowledge by which one can become free from birth and death, and over and above that attain to the highest possible destination. Vyasadeva, he is the compiler of the Vedas. And in the Vedas he gave so much knowledge, but the ultimate knowledge he gave is in Srimad Bhagavatam, which points clearly to Krishna and our relationship with Krishna. So who can sit on the Vyasa-san? One who represents Vyas by speaking the same message. And how can we know it's the same message? Well, the Shastra is still there. Srimad Bhagavatam is still there. But even Srimad Bhagavatam, if we were simply to read that, of course, first of all, we'd have to learn Sanskrit. So we're reading it in translation. But even then, to understand it, we also need the explanations. For instance, if we were to read the narration of the Mohini Avatar of Vishnu, and what would we understand without explanation? How can we understand it? There are many people, especially in India today and in the West also, who attack the Shastra. In India, it's Christian preachers and Muslim preachers who are trying to convert Hindus to their religion, and Indian so-called humanists and rationalists, especially today, they may attack because today is Ganesh Chaturthi. So they say, what is this, this elephant-headed god? What is this nonsense? And because the people in general have no training in spiritual knowledge, they can't give any reply. They have no training in scriptural knowledge. So they may repeat the stories, but from Shastra. But who will justify that? Who will uphold that? For that we have to hear from the acharyas. There are many in India and overseas who take the role of a guru, but they cannot clear the doubts of the disciple. Unless the guru can clear the doubts of the disciple, then the disciple's faith can be broken at any time. Just like someone may say, oh, what is this? Ganesh, what is this? Elephant-headed god, what is that? Why should you believe? How is it possible? And what will the guru say? Then he may say, well, it's just symbolic. It symbolizes this or that. Many say like that, isn't it? Krishna's dancing with the gopis. Krishna's asking the gopis to come naked before him means we should be naked. We should not hide anything from God. In this way, they try to make metaphorical explanations. That may be there secondarily. But actually, the gopis did come before Krishna naked. But that has to be understood on a much more deeper level than simply we have to become free of material desires before God. The whole fact that they're complete, just like you were speaking about, surrendering. So the complete surrender to Krishna. And that is what the guru has to convey to disciples. There's one very important line. We don't hear it much quoted, but it's the essence of our lives. It's the essence of living in Krishna consciousness. Krishnarte kila cheshta. Everything should be done for the sake of Krishna. That is the meaning of surrender. That is the meaning of acting in Krishna consciousness. So about Ganesh, we can say, well, how much have you seen? How much of the universe have you seen? We're all frogs in the well. I had some insight into this before I even was fortunate enough to come to the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, that I used to read in the local library. I used to get books on, and I used to read about world folklore, and we find that all over the world there are ghosts and dragons and fairies and leprechauns and elves and gnomes in different names. So I suppose that what are they teaching us in the school? That there are no such things. But it seems that from ancient folklore that there are such things, or at least there were such things. But that some people don't want us to believe in them. That there's a whole realm of reality which is far beyond our tiny little intelligence, our tiny spectrum of sensory perception. We can see things within a certain light range, right? We learn from science. We can only see within a very limited spectrum. We can only hear within a very limited spectrum of sound. We don't know how the universe came into being. We don't know what's going on in different areas of reality. One thing we can know for sure from Shastra, and it completely coalesces with personal experience, is that this world is a world of suffering. If we don't see that, that is our foolishness. But actually, it's a world of suffering. It's something else which the whole Western civilization is completely ignorant of. It's such an important, essential fact, is that we are eternal. The atheists think that we're born, we die, everything finished. There was nothing before and nothing will happen afterwards. But we're eternal. Before I was in this body, I had so many bodies. And we'll get body after body after body until we realize that we're not meant to enjoy this material world. We are meant to be a servant. These points, Srila Prabhupada, he preached again and again and again. First of all, we're not the body. Understand this. We're eternal, spiritual, living beings. And that we're not independent. We are controlled. There is a controller. There is God. We have to situate ourselves in his service. So, regarding Ganesh or what, anyway, there are so many things which the atheists will say it's some fairy stories. Well, what they call science is also inconceivable, right? They say that there was nothing, there was absolutely nothing, and nothing exploded. And then after that, it all bubbled up and settled down into planets, and it was all bubbling around, and then some single-celled organisms formed out of that, and then they formed into fish, and then they jumped on the land and became lizards, and then they became monkeys, and then they became Charles Darwin. That's the theory. And that's a theory, fairy story, mythology, meaningless, ridiculous. But they say it all starts with something inconceivable, right? They call it a singularity, that there was nothing and nothing exploded. Inconceivable. So there are so many things that are inconceivable. So the beginning of entering into spiritual knowledge is to accept the inconceivable, which means to accept that our own intelligence is very limited. Our own sensory ability to perceive sensorially is very limited. Our own experience is very limited. Our knowledge is very limited, and it will always be so because we're very, very tiny living beings. So that's the beginning of spiritual knowledge, which the representative of Vyas, who sits on the Vyasasan, has to speak this, what is in Shastra, and has to speak it in a manner to instruct others, because guru, after all, means teacher. Just, yeah, there may be a teacher for dancing, for music, for cooking, for stealing, for so many things, there may be teachers. But in the complete sense of the term, acharya means one who teaches that highest knowledge, tad vijnanartham, for the sake of that scientific knowledge, that knowledge which is beyond everything of this world, we should approach a guru. So a guru should be knowledgeable enough to teach that. And acharya is another word for guru. Guru means heavy. Guru means who removes darkness. Acharya means achinoti yashastrani, achare sthapyatyapi. Swayam acharate yasmad acharyas tena kirtitaha. Acharya means one who knows the message of Shastra, and not just by memorizing, but understands that, and lives it and teaches others, and in this way establishes the message of Shastra. So we have to understand the message of Vyas through the great acharyas. Specifically, we are receiving this message from Srila Prabhupada here in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We are all disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Some are directly initiated by him. Some are initiated by disciples of his. We have these terms. Shishya means disciple. Prashishya means following disciples. So we have received this message of Vyasadeva, the ultimate message. Nigamakalpataro galitam phalam, the ripened fruit of the desire tree of Vedic knowledge, through Vyasadeva and through Srila Prabhupada. And of course, Srila Prabhupada always presented himself as a representative of the previous acharyas. He didn't say, this is my knowledge or something that I have understood by my own insight. But rather it's knowledge. It's the same knowledge. Srila Prabhupada's authenticity derives from him speaking the same knowledge without changing it. Sometimes people think that a guru means he's got something new to offer. But the real meaning of a guru is one who's got something old to offer. Yoga prokta puratana. Even Krishna himself says, I'm going to speak to you that old knowledge. Not that I dreamed up something new. It's the same old knowledge I'm going to speak. So, Srila Prabhupada derived his authenticity, or stated his authenticity, that he only gives the same knowledge, because knowledge doesn't change. Actual knowledge doesn't change. 2 + 2 = 4, you go anywhere in the universe, beyond the universe, in future, present, past, it's the same. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are all his eternal parts and parcels. Forgetting him, we are suffering in this material world. It's the same situation wherever we go. It may be that nowadays we have technology and the world seems to be very different from what it was 5,000 years ago when Vyas was sitting in his cave, actually still sitting there in Bhadrak Ashram. But at the time that he presented these scriptures to the world has changed. Well, not really. It's still eating, sleeping, mating and defending, birth, death, old age and disease. It's the same thing. We think, oh, it's very modern, advanced, progressive, but it's the same thing. People are very technologically advanced, but what is the aim? Simply to live and eat and sleep and enjoy sex and pass through our life without any knowledge of who we actually are, where we're coming from, where we're going, why we're suffering. Just ignorant like pigs. This is the situation. So Srila Prabhupada pointed that out. And not only speaking acharya means by his acharan, by his activities also, he establishes what should be done. Just like children, they learn in the school, but they also learn, much of what they learn is from the people all around them, the culture, the language, how we interact with others, what are our values. A lot that is learned is not formally taught. It's informal. It's just the children imitate what they see. So the acharya has to act in an exemplary way. Krishna te kila cheshta. It should be observable that everything he does is for the pleasure of Krishna, for in Krishna's service. Now, sometimes we're told that the gurus, they should all be fully absorbed in thought of Krishna. Absolutely pure devotees in every respect. Correct. But how will we say? How will we know? Thank you. How can we know? Someone may say, someone may even act like that. It's non-quantifiable, or we can suppose. Of course, if someone is speaking of Krishna, we may presume that they are thinking of Krishna. But I have personal experience of persons I've seen many times. Persons who are singing with great fervor the Hare Krishna mantra. And when they finish their gig, then immediately they're smoking. Which, well, it's better than singing some horrific rock music song and then smoking. But it doesn't tally, because smoking is an act for sense gratification. It's not something that someone who's actually absorbed in love of Krishna should do. So we can see the behavior of what someone does. Krishna, or Arjuna, early in Bhagavad Gita, he asked, what are the symptoms of a self-realized person? Sthita pragyasya ka bhasha, first. How does he speak? Samadhi stitha keshava. How does he speak? Stitha di king prabhasheta kimasita rajeta kim. How does he talk? What does he teach? How does he sit? How does he walk? How does he live his life? So the acharya has to teach by his example. Now there is a philosophy or an idea, maybe philosophy is too bombastic a word, or too exalted a word, that Srila Prabhupada is the last initiating guru, and then no one after him should initiate, because no one's on his level. And it can't really be called a philosophy, because philosophy means it should be worked out and properly presented with evidence and reasoning. We can say it's a mat, it's an opinion, not a vada, a worked out philosophy. Because no one's on the level of him. There's no doubt that Srila Prabhupada was an exceptional acharya. But it's not that. It's never been there in the tradition that every acharya, that only one will initiate who's on the most exalted and highest level. If one speaks and acts wholly and solely for Krishna and recognizes the previous acharyas, then he can also act as an acharya. I can give an example again from my personal experience that many years ago, according to my lifetime, this spot life, Srila Prabhupada used that expression, it's just like a spot. We're born and we die. So this was maybe 35 years ago, something like that, a bit more than that. I visited a village in Bangladesh, remote village. There were no roads to approach it, only by boat could be approached. I was invited there by some devotees. They had been initiated by a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That disciple was from that village, and somehow or other he had gone to Calcutta and he'd been initiated by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He came back to his village. And then India was divided into India and Pakistan, and he was in East Pakistan, which later became Bangladesh. So he was living at home with his family and chanting and everything. And four members of one family, three sons and one daughter, became very interested in what he was doing. And they used to regularly visit him, and eventually they all took initiation from him. So he had four disciples. He wasn't canvassing. He wasn't going out and preaching. But they all became very good devotees. And they started preaching in their village. It was a fishing village, so it is maybe not the most pious. As I said, I went there by boat. So it's, but very poor people, very simple people. And eventually, dozens of people in that village became initiated by Jaipataka Maharaj. He initiated them there. So the point I'm making here is that even though the Chakrapani Das Adhikari, he wasn't a big acharya with big name and fame or any such thing. But by his teaching and by his example, he inspired at least a few people who got the real message from him. And there may have been thousands of gurus in the Vaishnava tradition like that. And there should be more. Srila Prabhupada said there should be a guru in every neighborhood. So it's not necessarily all the fanfare that may not be so important. As of course, it is the duty of the disciples to honor the gurus. But it's not we within our ISKCON we generally think of a guru as, you know, some kind of ethereal being who's on some cloud or something like this. But it means one who has heard the message, who speaks the message, and lives the message without any change and without any personal desire. That's all. Very simple thing. As Srila Prabhupada often said, it's a very simple thing. What you have heard, you repeat. That's all. You heard, you repeat, you live it. And the message of Krishna itself is so inspiring that we really don't have to do anything else. What did Srila Prabhupada do? He didn't do gymnastics. He came and he spoke about Krishna. He engaged people in kirtan. And he distributed prasadam, and that was always the central thrust of his preaching. Later on, there was, of course, a major extension of his speaking, the message as it is, was his books. So later, the book distribution and production and distribution of books was developed. Festivals, that's very central to the Vaishnava culture. Srila Prabhupada had festivals. Later on he had Bhaktivedanta Institute for preaching to scientists and intellectuals. But the core of his message was just acting in Krishna consciousness as he had learned through parampara and giving that to others and being completely selfless in doing so. He often said that the guru is a transparent via medium. Transparent medium means that his own desires and personal ideas or speculations, they don't get in the way. They don't block the message. The message should come through clearly. We're not blocked. Just like a window, the light should come through. If there's some dirt on the window, it won't come through. If it's a tinted window, the clear light won't come through. So simply, Srila Prabhupada, he himself said, I have no personal qualification. We've all seen that, haven't we? We've all seen that in the video, famous Srila Prabhupada. I have no personal qualification, but I simply tried to serve the order of my spiritual master. And that is the principle of parampara, generation after generation. So to expect or demand or insist that every guru is on the level of Srila Prabhupada is unrealistic, because after all, Srila Prabhupada is a very special, empowered disciple of or follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But in other sense, all the gurus should be as good as Prabhupada, in as much as they say the same thing and live in the same way. As Srila Prabhupada often said, just do as I am doing. And it's really not that difficult. Krishna consciousness is not difficult. It might appear to be difficult to people who are accustomed to a life of gross sense gratification. There are some difficulties. Rising early in the morning is difficult for people who are accustomed to not rising early in the morning. But when you get used to it, it's not difficult. To chant minimum 16 rounds, actually it should be 64 rounds. Srila Prabhupada gave us allowance of 16 because his disciples found it too difficult. But to chant 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra, it's not physically difficult to. But anyway, we're talking all the time. We're always saying something. So instead of talking other things, at least for 2 hours, we can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's not difficult, but what's difficult is our stupid mind. That's the only thing. Otherwise, to practice Krishna consciousness is not difficult. It's a very pleasing life, actually. If we take to that seriously, we'll find it's very pleasing. So In some ways, it's not difficult to follow Srila Prabhupada. What is the difficulty? Is one of Srila Prabhupada's well-known sayings. What is the difficulty? What is the difficulty to chant the Hare Krishna mantra? There's no difficulty. There's no difficulty to take prasadam, that's for sure. The difficulty may be in the full surrender, but then we have the process of sadhana. That process of sadhana is there. That we apply ourselves to the process and gradually we become purified. So this initiation ceremony is meant, it's a formal ceremony which solidifies and formalizes the commitment to surrender to Krishna. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishyatiti vishvaso guptritve varanang tata atma nikshepa karpanye sharavirha sharanagati. To surrender to Krishna is not just some vague idea. Surrender comes before love. Surrender comes before love. We talk about love of Krishna. The ultimate aim of love is love of Krishna. Before that comes surrender. As Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jibe Daya Kari Shaparsha Dashiya Dham Shaha Abhatai. Atanta durlabha prema karibari dan shikai sharanagati bhakatera pran. He teaches, this is a Bengali song, that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being very merciful to the fallen souls of this world, descended into this world along with his own dham, Navadvipa dham, and with his associates. And what did he come to do? He came to give that very rarely achieved prem, pure love of Krishna. And what is the system for doing so? He taught Sharanagati, the process of surrender to Krishna, in which there are six factors that we should act in a manner, or we should resolve to do only those things which will enhance our Krishna consciousness. We should act in a manner that is favorable for advancing our Krishna consciousness. And we should also vow to forswear anything that will impede our advancement in Krishna consciousness. We should have full faith that Krishna is our protector, Krishna is our maintainer. We should throw ourselves at Krishna. Atma nikshepa literally means to throw ourselves. That, okay, Krishna, I'm throwing myself on you. Now you look after me, and I'm yours. Atma nivedana means fully giving ourselves to Krishna. And then humility. So these are the six points. So the guru is to teach this to the disciple, and the disciple, by accepting initiation, it's formal initiation into Krishna consciousness means formally accepting that this is. Now I'm going to do it. Now I got the chance. I'm so fortunate. Let me do it. I'm formally committing to do so. And learns from the guru and the gurus, Vande Gurun, it's Vandeham Sri Guru, Sri Yathav Padakamalam, Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa. We offer respect to the guru and the gurus. All Vaishnavas are gurus, meant to be gurus, either by giving initiation or by giving instruction. Instruction is given, again, by Shastra, knowledge from Shastra, and also by behaving in such a way. There are many things to be learned. Many, many things to be learned. Many details of Vaishnava culture, which largely haven't been introduced into the Western world yet, and even in India, many points are largely forgotten nowadays, but we are also ordered by Srila Prabhupada to introduce this Varnashram Dharma, part of which is reintroducing and establishing this culture. So we're all students. Who can be a guru? Who is a disciple? No one can be a guru unless they're a disciple. One has to learn and then teach. But then, who can be a guru? One who thinks, I am a disciple, more than thinking I am a guru, he's fit to be a guru. If one thinks I'm a guru, I was a disciple previously, now I'm a guru. One who thinks like this is not a guru. His first identity is as the servant of his guru. Amito Vaishnav, e buddhi hoile, amani nahobo. I mean, this Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a whole song about this, that if I think now I'm a big guru, then I'll go to hell. Tai shishya tava, takiya sarvada, na loibo pujaka. He starts the song saying that if I think I'm a Vaishnava, I'll become puffed up. And therefore, the conclusion is, I'll always remain a disciple and not accept respect from anyone. Of course, he himself initiated others. But the point is that we are to identify as a disciple. And Krishna te kila cheshta. Everything we should do is for the service of Krishna and nothing else. And that will inspire the disciples. Just as in the traditional model of the family, of course, that's broken down to a large extent in the Western world, the traditional family. Previously, family meant husband and wife who married and stayed married throughout life, and children, and several children, and grandparents, and uncles, and aunts. The children learn from the whole culture, the whole behavior of the elders around them. So the gurus, they have to teach by their behavior. How are we living? How are we acting? Are we doing everything? Oh, clearly, transparently for the service of Krishna. Otherwise, it's very possible. A guru is a very dangerous position, in as much as one is respected by others, which is not good for Vaishnavas, because a Vaishnava is meant to offer respect to others. But as a duty, one has to instruct others. One has received this knowledge from his guru, and as a dakshina, as an offering to the guru, dakshina jnana sandeshaha, whatever one knowledge one has received, one should satisfy one's guru by passing that knowledge on to others. That is the best dakshina, the best offering to the guru, is to pass on the knowledge that he has given. So naturally one will be respected for doing so, and that is required, that the guru be respected. Otherwise one cannot learn anything. By a challenging attitude, one cannot learn. One has to present oneself. Tadvadhi pariprashnena. Tadvadhi pranipatena. First comes pranipat. First offering respect. Bowing down. Pariprashnena. Then one is suitable to ask questions. And seva. And service. So the disciple is meant to serve the guru, menial servant, especially in the Gurukul. Acharan dasavan nicha. In the Gurukul, the brahmachari Gurukule vasandanto guru hitam. Acharan dasavan nicha. Guru sudrida sohrida. The brahmachari is meant to live in the Gurukul, controlling his senses, living very humbly, as a humble servant, with an attitude of firm attachment to the Guru. So this is the position, but the Guru himself always has to remember, I am a disciple. I'm a disciple of my Guru. I'm doing this. This respect is offered to me because I'm following my glorious Guru, who is so merciful. Not that I want or need any respect, but whatever respect is being offered to me is because of him, because of his mercy. I'm able to be in this position. Jogat bichare kichu nahi pai, tomara karuna sha. If we examine, we'll find, Vaishnav thinks, if we examine myself, we'll find what's there? Nothing. Nothing of any value. All bad things. But whatever life we have, spiritual life, Krishna consciousness, that's all the mercy of the Guru. So here in our ISKCON, we should all be very, very much conscious that we're all running on the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. If it wasn't for him, there'd be no Krishna consciousness in the Western world. There might be something here, there, but it would not have, it couldn't have come. And even in India, it was practically, the whole culture was getting lost. To a large extent, it was Srila Prabhupada who revived that by introducing pure Krishna consciousness. So we should always remember, we're here on the, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And if we forget that, then we become, even if we're like big tigers in preaching, big and powerful and strong, if we forget where the mercy is coming from, again we become a mouse. We're just like a little mouse who by the blessings of a yogi can become a tiger, gradually becomes a tiger. But then if we think, now I became more than the yogi, I can eat him. The tiger thinks, now I shall eat the yogi. And the yogi, punar mushiko bhava, again you become a mouse. And practically we see that those who forget their link with Srila Prabhupada, they become a mouse, either grossly or in another way. It may be that we think we have a better method of preaching, or we have some better ideas, or we don't like Srila. People don't like Srila Prabhupada's books, so we have to write some other books which don't present Krishna consciousness very clearly. I just saw, we were on Harinam in London, I saw on the back of someone's t-shirt. What was that? Oh, I can't remember. Something was written. It sounded completely Mayavadi. And it had Prabhupada's signature underneath it. I thought, Prabhupada doesn't say that. Something. What was it? You have to find peace from within. Something like that. I looked it up. I never heard Prabhupada say that. But I looked it up, and there's nothing. It's just someone wants to repackage Prabhupada as some love and peace kind of bogus guru. But to be a representative of Prabhupada means we have to take his message. It's not so easy. It's not so easy, actually, because a Vaishnav preacher means to stand against the whole world. The whole world is going to hell, and the Mayavadis want to smile as they go to hell. They want to make everyone feel nice, which is not a good policy, because the world is not nice. There's one famous guru, but he's going down now, because these people, they don't have anything substantial to offer. So they come into fashion and go out of fashion. So there's one, he says, my aim in life is to put a smile on everyone's face. So that's nice, isn't it? No, it's nonsense. It's rascaldom. Why should you smile? You should tell people why we're not smiling. Because we're separated from Krishna. You can put a smile on their face, but still they have to suffer birth, death, old age and disease. What is putting a smile on your face? Anyway, his fortunes are going down. There's another one coming up. This Jaggi is coming up. And he'll go down after some time, because they've got nothing actually to offer. Nothing to offer. Just empty words. But Srila Prabhupada had a substantial message. Surrender to Krishna. What does that mean, surrender to Krishna? That means give up sense gratification. Very harsh message for materialistic people. Give up sense gratification. That's what's keeping us in this material world. So it's easy to follow Srila Prabhupada. In some ways, it's not difficult to chant Hare Krishna. It's not difficult to, it's not physically difficult to speak the Hare Krishna mantra. It's not physically difficult to speak the message of Shastra. But we may find it difficult because it's a heavy message. And if we have to live up to it, then we have to surrender also. It's not that we can say it and not live it, and people will see the difference. We have to live it also. So the gurus, they have to be a transparent media for the message of Vyasadeva, and that will inspire the disciple. How can we inspire people? Well, we can inspire people on the mental platform. Tell people, put your shoulders back, stand up tall. That may make you feel good, but that won't help us to understand who we are, what is our relationship with Krishna. So the gurus have to inspire by their actual example. I've just been traveling in various parts of the world for the last almost 2 months. I've been hearing from a few devotees here and there that actually they feel some consternation, they feel somewhat troubled because they think that, well, it appears that some of the gurus are taking money from their disciples, and it's not transparently all being used only for Krishna. It may be for some artistic hobby that they have, or for living luxuriously. Of course, living luxuriously is not necessarily a bad thing. Srila Prabhupada had a lush room, lush, posh room in England at Bhaktivedanta Manor and in Melbourne, but then there were big people, important people, being invited to come and meet Srila Prabhupada in those rooms, so he used those for preaching. But he never stayed in a 5-star hotel. So I'm hearing some complaints like this. So it's really incumbent on those who are taking a spiritual leadership role to live in a manner in which it can be clearly seen that everything they get is used for Krishna, not for any personal comfort or luxury or sense gratification. There shouldn't be any question of that. We live in a time in which there is a lot of doubt in religious leaders, spiritual leaders. The Catholic Church is going through probably the greatest, well, it's been through, it went through the Reformation crisis and survived that. After losing huge ground, it survived that. The Reformation, as you all probably know, as it started, not in Bavaria, which remained Catholic, but in northern Germany. It was largely fueled by discontent over the misuse of office by the priests and bishops and the Pope himself. There were so many popes who had many nephews, but they weren't nephews, they were biological sons, but they used to call them nephews because the Pope's not supposed to have biological children. So that outcry, the Reformation, what we have, this Ritvikism, it's something like the Protestant reformation or an attempt at that. That we don't recognize any gurus, only, what is it? The reformation is there's Jesus and the Bible and me. So Ritvikism means Prabhupada, his books, and me. And there's no guru, although you wouldn't get that from reading the books. If you read Srila Prabhupada's books 10,000 times, you'll never get the idea of some Ritvik system. But this protest idea came up due to misuse of office, by misuse of privilege by spiritual leaders. And that's happening again in the Catholic Church, due to widespread pedophilia and covering it up. But as I've read, there are actually also very big scandals, but they don't hit the news very much, of misuse of funds, of people who, of course, the Catholic Church is dealing in huge amounts of money, and large amounts of money are being siphoned off, or have been, for people to use for their own personal purposes. So this also erodes the faith that people have. People are taking initiation wipe because they have faith, is it not? You don't do it unless you have faith. You have faith in Krishna, you have faith in the parampara, you have faith in the person you're taking initiation from. So that faith comes. Why is that faith coming? Because the faith comes because the guru speaks the same message without changing it, without adding a little sahajiya there and a little mayavad there, but just the same message. So faith is established like that. And also because one acts. The guru acts in a way, is clearly acting in a way, Krishna te kila cheshta. Everything is done for Krishna. Not anything for personal sense gratification. Sometimes I hear within our ISKCON, well, you shouldn't criticize anyone. They're on a very high level. We're not to judge them. But actually, we are to judge. Before accepting a guru, one has to judge, is it not? One's enjoined to see what is the character, what are the teachings. One's enjoined to judge. We're told not to be judgmental, but that doesn't come from Shastra. Shastra tells us to judge. Don't believe blindly. We should learn from Srila Prabhupada's books how to recognize a representative of the parampara. Not just blindly follow and say, well, whatever they do, whatever they say, they understand better than me, they're on a high level. Well, that's how all the babas and bappas and mamas and papas and whatever, amas, that's how they get away with it, because people think, oh, they're on a very high level. We can't, whatever they do is divine. That's called blind faith. But guru means agyana timirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namah. We offer respect to the guru because we are blind in this material world, but he removes that blindness by giving us knowledge, spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge means to discriminate between that which is proper and that which is not proper. That is the beginning message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma kaitava projita atra. The cheating religion herein is completely rejected. So anyway, it's a very big topic. Those who are being initiated today, please take your vows absolutely seriously. It's not expected that we won't have difficulties. There will be ups and downs. Kshura Siddhara Nishitaya Durataya Durgang Patas Tat Kavayo Vadanti. It's a difficult path. It's recognized that it's a difficult path. It's like a razor's edge. We can fall into Maya at any moment. But we vow to follow these principles. At any time, we can break them. It's not illegal to break these. It's not illegal, according to the laws of Germany, to break these regulative principles. In fact, you'd be considered a better citizen if you do break the principles. But you've made a vow to be a Vaishnava. So please take very seriously. Follow the principles. Chant Hare Krishna. Study Srila Prabhupada's books. Live according to the books. There are many, many things to say. It's a huge arena of topics. I'll finish here. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Now, you wanted to give that garland. Was it? You can give it. I was already talking. It's better to give it. Not once you start talking, that's very serious. We should concentrate on that. So you can give it now if you like. Thank you for the kindness in offering a garland.
Sorry, Maharaj.
There's a time and a place for everything. So, where are those beads? I was just listening to a conversation of Srila Prabhupada in Bhuvaneshwar in January 1977. And one woman came to him, local Ori, I suppose she was, a woman, and said, "I'd like to be initiated. I'm following everything." Prabhupada said, "Very good, you can be initiated tomorrow." Usually we test more. So he initiated her the next day. Tejas Prabhu, who was in Delhi for many years, he told me that one woman came up to Srila Prabhupada and said, "I want to be initiated." Prabhupada said, "All right." And Tejas said, "I never saw her before. I don't know if she's following anything." And Prabhupada said to the woman, "Do you have beads?" Said, "Yeah." "So you give them to me." And Prabhupada chanted on them, gave her a name, and he said to Tejas, "You do not know what preaching means." So she took the beads, and Tejas never saw her again. That was Prabhupada. We have a testing period. Now, another important point is that devotees to be initiated here, practically day-to-day guidance they're getting from their senior devotees. You can do it now, also. It's all right. But it's better to do it just before the yajna because the attention will be diverted. Oh, you can do it now. That's right. Because before you get the initiation beads. So you're practicing Krishna consciousness under the guidance of local devotees. Do you have new beads? Yeah, please get the beads. All right, well, there are only two of you. All right, I'll call you first. You're ready? Almost. So then you can... it's a bit difficult to offer obeisance to Prabhupada on the Vyasa San here. You can offer obeisance to everyone there. And then come and offer obeisance here. You're going to have to please move back a little bit. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna.
Do it round the other way.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Yeah, please go and offer obeisance. All right, sit like this. All right, so please tell the four principles which you'll follow throughout your life.
No meat, no fish, no eggs eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling.
All right, so I'm going to give you a name which Srila Prabhupada gave to one of his disciples. It's the name of one of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's also very suitable for one who's serving the cows. The name is Hasti Gopal Das. I'll write it down for you later if you don't. You can remember that. Can you remember that? Hasti Gopal. Gopal. Oh, you didn't say 16 rounds? Okay. How many rounds?
Minimum 16.
Okay. All right, so you please come. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama.
So Bhaktin Connie's parents have come from? Where did they come from? What's the name of the town?
Kempton.
Kempton. Sounds like an English town, Kempton. Oh, it's near to the Simhachalam farm?
No,
it's west from here. The farm is more or less east. Mm. All right. Hare Krishna. So please sit. Sit properly. All right. Please tell, make sure I don't forget that again. Four regulated principles. And how many rounds do you have to chant? All right. I'm again giving you a name which Srila Prabhupada gave to one of his disciples. It's a name for Radharani, which appears in the Radha Sahasranama. The name is Chandi Devi Dasi. The translation given is haughty. Haughty means arrogant, roughly speaking. But you don't be like that, but sometimes Radharani is like that as part of her pastimes. Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna, on with the yajna. Chandi, Chandi. Chandi, Chandi. What does Chandi mean in Hindi? It's a name of Durga. It's better known as a name of Durga. We also have Chandi, which is silver.
Chandigarh, the city.
Yeah, yeah. It's a well-known name of Durga. But it's also originally a name of Radha. So yeah, the yajna can go on. You doing the yajna? Okay, please do it. No, who's scheduled to do it? So please do it.
Would like to be part of it nearby?
I'll excuse myself. You can go on with the yajna.
Okay.